Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah 40, and it's 6:40, so that's going to be good. What a blessing to hear testimonies tonight from the Word of God, and where our theme this year is revive, and so it's from Isaiah 57, and so on Sunday morning we're going through the Gospel of John, and Sunday night's different passages from the book of Isaiah. Now, before I forget, at the end of the service, and if I do forget, flag me down, but Miss Dot Thorne is going to be joining the church tonight, so don't let me forget. I am prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. So direct me with that. And then also, we're moving a piano tonight. So if you want to get some exercise, we're moving a piano to a nursing home ministry. And so meet at my house right after the service. And I told the few it's going to be right at 7:15, but we'll see what happens. But we're going to move that piano tonight for the nursing home ministry at Spring Arbor. That's where we're going, right? Okay, so Spring Arbor. Go to the right place, and Ms. Manning and Ms. Strickland are leading that ministry as well. So, all right, praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40 tonight, and we're finding, going through this book, there's a contrast in the book of Isaiah, this prophecy, tremendous prophecy. The first part of the book deals with the sovereign upon the throne. The final part, the second part, is the Savior in the place of suffering. Some have said it's like the Old and New Testaments. You have the Old Testament, you have the New Testament. And in chapter 6, we see the crown. In chapter 53, we see the cross. The theme of the first section was the government of God. Now we see the grace of God. Now notice Isaiah chapter 40 in verse number 1. It starts with this word. Here's the theme of this entire chapter. Now, a text without a context is pretext. That's why we're going into this tonight. Look at verse 1. Comfort ye. Comfort ye. Ye, my people, saith your God. Now, don't you see the theme is comfort? Verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Now, I know that those that have heard me preach know that there are three parts to it. We're to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and sound doctrine. A lot of times you'll have conviction. There should be conviction. But do you know that part of that is comfort? The Holy Spirit of God doesn't just bring conviction. He is called another comforter. So tonight we're going to have a comforting message, Lord willing, an encouraging message for your heart from Isaiah chapter 40. Because every one of us needs comfort. All of us go through times of discouragement and stress and difficulty, anxiety, loneliness, and loss. And here the nation of Israel, this chapter is written to the people of God who were in exile, and they had lost their city, they had lost everything known to them, they had experienced the consequence of sin, and instead of beating them up, God speaks to them words of comfort, words of strength, words of encouragement to get them to keep on keeping on. I was reading some statistics on this. 89% of Americans suffer from what is called chronic stress syndrome. A third of Americans are clinically depressed and take depression medication. And so that means this: most of us here today are either stressed or depressed. Now, maybe if you weren't before, you might be feeling it now. But listen, every one of us, we all have emotional, physical, spiritual problems that cause us to be stressed and depressed. We find ourselves with days that are too long, nights too short, we can't get everything done, there's too much to do, and we feel like we're being stretched from all different angles. But let me encourage you tonight, if you've experienced loss and you're experiencing loneliness and stress and depression, there is hope. There is strength to be found, and it's right here in the Word of God. We notice in Scripture, let's go to the end of the chapter. The first part says, comfort ye. Comfort ye, as if he needed double encouragement. Speak comfortably. So don't just comfort, speak comfortably. Look at the last part. So I'm going to try to speak comfortably, all right? I'm getting my best life voice on. No, I'm kidding. I'm saying, I want to encourage, look at the text, look at it. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we say amen and amen. So much in this passage. Notice first of all, the exhaustion that we feel. There's a reminder in the text. They that faint. Do you see here those that are weary? Even the youths are weary. If you're young, you're going to be weary. It says those that are fainting, those that are going through difficulty. You see, every one of us will feel this exhaustion. And there's a reminder about the times that we feel exhausted and stressed. There's a reminder that they're being told here. Have you not heard that there is an everlasting God who is the Lord? He is the creator of the ends of the earth. Here's something about our God. He never faints. Put it like this. He's never stressed or depressed. He's never weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He never gets tired. He is the unfailing, omnipotent, all-knowing God. Never gets worn out. And that God who has that power can give you strength today. God's never exhausted. Never. He never has a time where he's worn out. But we do. See, there's exhaustion that all of us will feel. We're in this body, the flesh, this tabernacle that's groaning for the redemption, that's to say our bodies, and we deal with stress and depression. What is stress and depression? Well, depression has the idea of being depressed, is being pressed down. Have you ever felt like you're just that weight on you? That being pressed down, that's depression. It's not a sin to be depressed. It's a sin to what you do with the depression. Stress, what's stress? Well, stress is kind of being pulled apart. You feel pressed down, pulled apart? Maybe the term scare you. Are you pressed down? Are you pulled apart? Whatever you call it tonight, all of us will experience that. Stress is the gap that exists between the demands that are placed on us and the strength that we feel like we have to meet those demands and the time. There's certain responsibilities, certain necessities, certain deadlines, certain opportunities, things we want to do, things we need to do, things we ought to do, things we have to do. We face those every single day, don't we? One side of the equation, and the other side is our inability, our weaknesses, our faults, our failures. We have a must-to. I've got to do this, and we feel overwhelmed with what is pressing us down and what is pulling us apart. We feel overwhelmed. You know, some have a job, and they think, well, if I just get an advancement in my job, if I become the boss, I'll never be stressed again. I tell folks, when I came here, I was the only staff member, and Phyllis, and she wasn't a pastor. So, you know, it was just me and Phyllis, Pastor Phyllis. And, you know, it was just it was everything at once. So I'm beginning to think, you know, if I get staff members, you know, I can kind of, you know, take a little break. Let me tell you something. I told Pastor, I praise the Lord for staff members. But understand this, you know, it's not as if they take responsibilities as much as there's more things being done. In fact, more stress a lot of times. Praise the Lord, not the ones we have now. But no, I'm kidding, no. But, you know, there's just more issues that we have to deal with, more responsibilities, more questions, more things. Do you know this? If you say, well, if I became the boss, I'll never get stressed. Well, actually, the studies have said there's a company of well-paid executive staff, and they noticed things where they hired a clinical psychologist to come in. You know what they found out? 21 of the 22 top executive CEOs were suffering from stress and depression. They all had high blood pressure. They all were taking depression medications. They had stress and depression. 21 out of 22 executives polled. Top Fortune 500, Fortune 50 companies, stressed and depressed. We say, well, all right, well, I don't want to be the boss then. All right, bring it down. Those that have very active jobs, those that are waitresses, that's a stressful job. Those that are machine operators, miners, inspectors, painters, hairdressers, meat cutters, plumbers, warehouse workers, they're under stress, different kind of stress. But stress. It says that preachers have stress. I remember when I couldn't wait to be a pastor. I mean, that's all I ever wanted to do, is be a preacher, be a pastor. So I'm like, I don't know how what are they talking about? I mean, they get Mondays off. A lot of them do. I mean, there's people that come in and they're working real jobs during the week and then they volunteer on Sundays. So, you know, I'm going to think, you know, I feel a little guilty about this being a preacher, but you don't realize the stress a lot of times that comes with being a pastor. This isn't a cry for help. It's just a reality. Listen, there is stress. The question is, which member am I going to offend this week? You know, that's, praise the Lord, that's not the way it is here, but all the time, or just this weekend. But, you know, there is a lot of distress, and there's deadlines. Talk about preaching three times a week. You try getting up in front of people, speak three times a week. And, you know, all these things that are going on and these things that are happening, you know, pastors, police officers have high levels of stress. I was looking through a few other folks on the list here with those of people that are stressed. Young people, you think, all right, at the end of the day, should not be stressed out. It's young people. Well, social media, I mean, it's like the paparazzi's walking around all the time. I call Anna my paparazzi. I mean, she's always doing little things like that. But they experience that stress, just what they look, the picture, with how they appear publicly. There's a huge stress with what they're going to do in their future, college. There's depression about their body image and all these things. And so that's why so many, even it says, even the youth shall fail. So many turn to drugs and alcohol, immorality because of stress and depression. We're being pulled apart from the seams. We're being pressed down. Broken homes, unpaid bills, scarred lives. In this community of Wilson, there are people walking around wounded with stress and depression. So physically, here's what happens. Indigestion, upset stomach, shortness of breath. I feel like I haven't got my doctorate in theology. But listen, I'm telling you tonight, headaches, muscle pain, fatigue, boredom, just emotionally, temper tantrums. You and your spouse are far more likely to have an argument if there's depression or stress involved. You get bent out of shape. You get away from the Lord spiritually. You fail to have your quiet time, spending time with the Lord. You get too busy to pray, too stressed and depressed to pray. The devil keeps you out of what is most important for you and the answer, and it just gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse. I've got a lot of studies here. Ron Ballew wrote a book, University of Washington, Medicine That Measured Stress and Depression. If any of these things have happened to you, most likely you have a high level of stress. It said the amount of stress that a person could have from 0 to 200 on this scale, University of Washington. If you have any one of these things at one time, if you have more of these things, it's almost a sure thing. The death of a spouse, 100% chance here, it says. Divorce, marital separation, personal injury and illness. Marriage actually was one of the things that said brought stress and depression. All God's people said amen. No, that's why they call it an institution. No, marriage, fired at work. I did Seth and Ashley's wedding, and they're still married, so something worked out in that ceremony. That's good. Change in responsibilities at work. Son or daughter leaving home. Change in living conditions. Change in work hours. Change in residence. Change in church activities. Change in sleeping patterns. Vacation. Vacation is supposed to take away stress and depression. How many of you know it's true? When you go on vacation, it's, woo, you're feeling it. Especially when you go to Disney, all right? You're feeling it. I lost our kids twice. You know, I think there's one still wandering around somewhere in Treasure Island. But holidays. That's supposed to be happy times. Stress and depression. All these things cause stress and depression. 75% of people who go to primary care physicians are talking about their stress-related disorders. People used to go to spas to lose weight. Now they go to spas to relieve stress. Stress, it's an issue, it's a problem. Because when you're stressed and depressed, you're vulnerable to the devil's attacks. You're more prone to argue, more prone to wander, prone to leave time with God. We say we don't have time for this, we don't have time for that. We're so pulled and pressed down. Let me expose the wiles of the enemy tonight. This is when the devil comes in and takes away your source and way of escape. And that's spending time with God who can deliver you. Okay, I want you to see first that exhaustion we all feel. Number two, in the 8 minutes we have, the encouragement that we all can find. Look, if you will, in verse 29. He giveth, what does it say? Power to the faint. Praise God. He gives power to the faint. Look at this. Verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He gives power. Aren't you glad tonight? Those that feel stressed and depressed, he doesn't point it out and tell you, just shape up, ship out. He gives you power. If you feel stressed and depressed tonight, there is power from the unlimited, omnipotent, omniscient, immutable God. Sovereign God. who never gets stressed out. I think about Isaiah when he saw the king seated on his throne. He wasn't running around. He wasn't wringing his hands. He was on his throne. And that's our God. Go to the throne of God. Receive that power. There is encouragement that everybody can find at the feet of Jesus. Oh, we're going to have times of stress, but there is encouragement here. Notice verse 31. Here's the key. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Number one, they shall mount up. Here's our title. With wings as eagles. Think about the eagle. The eagle flies on the winds of a storm. See, do you understand tonight? Maybe God has allowed that stress and depression to propel you to do something for Him. Think about David, who went through seasons of depression. Much of the Psalms, if you read it, is from the heart of someone who is probably very seriously depressed. You ever read the Psalms recently? Where are you, God? What's going on, God? I mean, I'm telling you, they would probably give this person, David, medication. But understand this, God has brought this and allowed this into their life. And God allows you, when the storm comes, for you to propel you and use that situation of your life to do something. So the eagle flies on the winds of a storm. The storm to the eagle is an opportunity. He soars on the winds of adversity. All of us have heartaches, disappointments, stress, and depression. We have problems. You say, preacher, do you have problems? Just two times. When I'm awake or when I sleep. You know, all the time we have problems. They're all the time. There's stress. Storms come into our life. And the eagle and the wings of an eagle teach us what to do. Isaiah was very aware of, in the Middle East, of eagles. If you go to Israel, you see eagles there all the time. And those mountains that surround Jerusalem, he would watch the thermal drafts that would be lifted up and that right wind or storm. And if you see those eagles, when the storm comes, the eagle spreads their wings and they catch up the drafts and they rise higher and higher and higher, thousands of feet above the storm, so high that ice may form on their wings. And the very winds that destroy others is the very thing that causes the eagle to soar higher and higher. You understand this? God has allowed that storm into your life, allowed that stress, allowed that issue in your life. He is an all-knowing, omniscient God to draw you to Himself. When you learn the secret of the passage and the secret of the wings as eagles, when the storms come into your life, they will cause you, understand, they're causing you to rise a little higher. They're causing you to go to God. You see, if you had no storms, you would be self-sufficient. If you had no prayer request, you wouldn't pray a lot of times. So God brings this and allows us to draw them to Himself. Here's about an eagle. When the storm comes, he stays up longer. He's not up there frantically flapping his wings. He's gliding above the storm, upon the storm. Oh, he gets an endurance. See what happens when you go through times of storms and you get close to God with wings as eagles and you get drawn into His presence. You see, as soon as the storm comes, as soon as that stress and that pressure, as soon as he feels being pulled apart and pushed down, that eagle would instinctively spread its wings and fly straight into the sun. Hey, listen, friend, tonight, when that stress and that depression and that storm comes, listen, you just need to know what it is to spread your hands and get right to the Son of God. Come before His throne. Come before His presence. Oh, and you get in close to Him, and the closer you get to Him, and the power that you feel coming from Him, it will teach you patience. What does the Bible say? Glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God. The Holy Ghost spreads the love of God in our hearts. James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this is what happens. When you go through times of storm, God's teaching you and God is drawing you to Himself and He's empowering you. You see, you'll never feel the presence of God more closely than when you're going through times of stress or depression, if you go to God. The way of escape is not some quick fix. I'm not saying it's wrong to treat medically or find some entertainment source. I'm not saying just relax and go to a spa. I'm not saying it's a sin to go to a spa, all right, husbands? Don't go ahead and keep buying your wife that little pass, all right? But I'm saying this. That encouragement that you find from anything in this earth pales in comparison to being in the presence of an almighty, omniscient, all-powerful God who supernaturally strengthens you. Have you felt that? Have you experienced that? Oh, the eagle understands that. You see, when the eagle's up on high, he has a view of a landscape he didn't have before. Sometimes in a storm, you're going through a time of difficulty, you're drawn to the presence of God, and now you see things that you never saw before. I guarantee you, you get cancer this week, you'll have a perspective of what's important in priorities. If you have a heart attack tonight, you'll know what it's like to reprioritize your life and what's important and what is actually valuable. Oh, these are things that God allows to draw us to himself. Job 39, 29, speaking of the eyes of the eagle, his eyes behold afar off. You ever seen an eagle? Have you been out? They're up high, but they're always watching, and they're able to swoop down and get that fish at the last moment. Listen, sometimes in a storm, you have a perspective that nobody else has. And God has enabled you, not just with his presence, but with a perspective. Eagles can fly around 50 miles an hour, but in storms, they can reach 70, 80, 90, sometimes 100 miles an hour. Incredible bird, with the storm propelling it forward, receives great strength. And God will give you great strength if you just go straight to him. Bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. We saw that the men's prayer advance, the guy that wrote that song. Bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Deuteronomy 31, 32, verse 11 says this, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. What is that saying? You know, sometimes God's going to push you out of the nest because he's teaching you to fly. And maybe what you're going through, that stress and that depression, is just enabling you to get closer to him. God gives us strength, number one, in times of adversity. Go back to this, the encouragement. God will give you strength in times of adversity. That God gives you strength. It says, wings to fly as eagle. God gives us strength in times of urgency. Not just adversity, but urgency. Look at verse 31. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. That's times of adversity. They shall run and not be weary. That's times of urgency. Run and not be weary. There are times we don't have adversity, but we have urgency. There are times we don't have adversity, you know, urgency, we have adversity. You're either going to go through times where there's stress or times of depression, either one. Listen, God will give you strength either way. God will give you that encouragement to get through what you need to get through in your life. Not just those times of adversity, times of urgency, but times of necessity. Look at this. They shall walk and not faint. Now, that's anticlimactic. If I were writing this, I'd probably say, they shall walk, you know, they shall run, they shall fly. Well, here's backwards. But understand today that the life is not just always a run or a sprint. There's sometimes God will just enable you to walk and go day to day where you need to go. By the way, that's where you fail the most in the daily walks of life. Where you walk, what you do, and how's your walk tonight? See, tomorrow morning you got to walk, get up. It's Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, walking through the week, getting off the bed, just moving one step at a time. You know, one of the things that we prescribe and people prescribe in counseling to those with depression, it's just get a list. Get a list of things to do and accomplish it. And watch that be accomplished. And praise God for that testimony tonight. The God of the impossible. Have a vision. Because if you're there on your back and you're stressed and depressed and you're just reacting and you're going from deadline to deadline and this bad news, that bad news, listen, get above all that, soar above that, get a vision, get some goals, write them down, and ask God to give you strength to accomplish that. It's going to build your faith. It doesn't have to be something something that just pulled out of nowhere, something that you need to do. Write it out. Get that walk and let God give it to you. And God will give you that encouragement on a day-by-day basis. You see, there's an exchange, finally, exchange that every one of us face. How do you get the strength? Look at it again. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The Hebrew word here has the idea of renewing strength. It means exchange your strength. What does that mean? As you wait upon the Lord, there's an exchange that happens. The Bible says God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. So Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the exchange. You give him your weakness, he gives you his strength. That's what happened at salvation. What a wonderful exchange. At salvation, he saved you from hell. Amen? You gave him your sin. You gave him your old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. He took your sin, and you received his righteousness. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Because if you believe that, and believe that God has the power to save you from hell, based upon simply calling upon him in faith, receiving his righteousness by faith, giving him all their sin, if God can save you from hell, how in the world do we not think he can save whatever else you're going through? If you believe he can take all of your sin, how have we not given him our stress? I'm trying to speak comfortably tonight, but I'm preaching at myself here. If we believe God gives us his righteousness, why don't we also believe tonight that he gives us his power? And he gives us his strength. And he gives us what is available at just by asking him. Oh, what an exchange tonight. What is it? 1 Peter 5, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care. Idea of, I've used this before, but the picture that I have is when you're out fishing and you take that rod and you think that line, you throw it out and you cast it. What are you going to do inevitably? You're going to reel it back in. You see, casting all your care upon the Lord is not throwing it out there and reeling it back in to look at. It's casting it and cutting the line. It's yours, God. You've got this. It means this. What I can do and the power that I have and the directions that I have, what I can do and what you want me to do, I'm going to accomplish. But anything that I can't figure out, anything that I can't do, I'm not going to stress and be depressed about it. It's yours. See, sometimes we want to serve God, but only in advisory roles. We want God's job. We want to do what God... No, give it, bring it to the Lord and leave it there. If it's not something you should be worried about, if it's nothing you can take care of, nothing you can do anything about, you bring it to God. Now, that's easy preaching on the pulpit, behind the pulpit. But the exchange you face is the same decision that happened at your salvation. You've got to bring your sin to Jesus. Come to the foot of the cross. Believe that he is powerful enough to save you. And friend, if he saved you at the moment of salvation, he'll save you today, tonight, tomorrow, from whatever else you're going through. He'll give you a strength. He'll give you a peace. He'll encourage you. Exchange your weakness for his strength. Praise the God for that. How do you do that? Four ways, we're done. Three ways, cut it short. I couldn't find another L, so here it is. Number one, long for the Lord. Psalm 62, verse 1, truly my soul waiteth on the Lord. That's what it means to wait. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Long for the Lord. Waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. God, you are my hope. I wait on you. I look to you. I long for you. It's longing for the Lord is, waiting on the Lord is longing for him. If you're waiting on God, you're longing for him. It's desiring him. It's worshiping him. It's seeking him. Looking for God. Looking for God moments. Longing for the Lord. Number two, it means listening to the Lord. Proverbs 8, verse, David says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation, my deliverance. Listen to the Lord. Proverbs 8, 34. Blessed is that man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. You hear that? To wait upon the Lord is to hear God. Oh, would you long for the Lord? Number two, listen to the Lord. Seek God in worship. Listen to the Lord from his word. And finally, it's live for the Lord. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. I'll close with this. I try to do on a lot of Sundays with gift cards. Praise the Lord for gift cards. I tell you, it enables the family to go out. And so we didn't have gift cards, but I said, we need to go to the Garden of Olives. Jesus went to the Garden of Olives. So after church, feeling spiritual, we're going to go to the Garden of Olives. So we went to the Olive Garden, the Garden of Olives. It's like homecoming at church there on Sundays. I mean, I don't even need to shake hands in the back of the church anymore. I just need to walk around and say hi to people at Tabernacle at Olive Garden. I'm getting no kickbacks from this advertisement, but if you're listening on the radio, you can send it my direction. But I don't know where I got that. But you know, we were there today, and I began to think of this passage. And I've taught this before, but understand, we had the best waiter that we ever had before. She was fantastic. I mean, I do the whole keto thing, so I probably give her stress and depression. She needs to hear this message after I gave it to her. I'm thinking, I'm ordering this, ordering that, doing this, and she just had it down. I tipped her $2. No, I'm kidding. But I mean, she was fantastic. And moving up in the world, went from a quarter. No, she was just wonderful. I mean, she listened carefully. That's a change. She longed to help, ask, look for things, and she waited on me. Now, here's what she did not do. Here's what happens sometimes. Some restaurants. What do you have? Have you ever been to, I hate to say this, McDonald's? Okay. The difference between McDonald's and Chick-fil-A, a world of difference, all right? One's got my pleasure and the other one's got recording. This actually sound happy, but I know there's some good workers out there. Don't fault everybody, but all of them, but maybe a few. But have you ever been there and they just go, here's what my waiter did not do today. She would not have received a tip. I'm waiting on you. What do you get for me? Come on. Go on. You gonna get this done? What do you get? You know, we would have said, what a terrible waiter. You know, the word wait does not mean to sit around and do nothing. That word wait literally is the same word as serving and waiting upon the Lord. Hope that gives you a perspective tonight. If you want wings as eagles, you get before the presence of God and say, what can I do? Can I look for areas where I can serve you? Can I look for areas where I can meet your need? Can I look for areas where I can pay attention to what you're doing and I can ask you what I can do? And you know what? You're going to have to find fulfillment. Let me tell you, the tip's great when you're serving God and God gives you power and God gives you strength to serve Him. Let's stand to our feet, eyes closed, heads bowed, eyes closed.